Welcome to Yacht Crew Vlogs, where we tell the stories of those in the yachting industry. A behind-the-scenes look that discovers the individuals in the industry, their history, their passions, and what inspires them to do what they do.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I am your host, and I'm very pleased to welcome back my next guest, Carlos Morales.
Yeah.
He is the director over at Astilleros de Mallorca in Palma, of course. How are you?
Yeah, very well, very well. Thank you, Rhea. I'm very happy to be here with you.
Yeah, well, we reconnected again at the Palma Yacht Show 2022. That was quite the show, and it was really nice to see people again.
Yeah, definitely. We were very excited about it, and I think it was a big success as well, because I think that we all needed to see each other. Let's put it that way, you know, and with less restrictions. And I think it was a very successful show, definitely for us, but I think for the rest of the business. And we saw a lot of people from different places and very interesting stakeholders. So it was very positive and very happy to be, you know, again, with a bit more freedom of movement. Yeah.
Well, it was also nice to be able to see people be happy for a change, because last year the masks sort of masked the idea. You couldn't see them be happy.
Yeah, correct. You couldn't see the smiles, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the personal touch is still so important, no? Yeah. That, I mean, we are doing right now a Zoom meeting, and it actually works well, and we are now used to this type of communication. But in my opinion, there is nothing like face-to-face, you know, with a real... I mean, it's different, and we still need this type of contacts, no? So we enjoyed it a lot, definitely.
Yeah. Nice. Well, happy anniversary. It is Astilleros de Mallorca's 80th anniversary this year, and you will be celebrating in one way or another for the entire year. You were formed in 1942, and yeah. The whole concept was actually building ships at that stage, was it? Boats and ships?
Yeah, definitely. It was, we were building, obviously at the beginning, not yachts, also commercial vessels. We built all type of vessels from wooden transport vessels with sails that did the trade between the islands and mainland and also to the south of France. But we've done also bigger commercial vessels for the transport of chemical products and so on. So we've done a bit of everything, you know, different materials. And obviously we also built yachts. I mean, we built both motor vessels and sailing vessels till the mid 80s, really. We were building one of the most iconic one was the sailing vessel, 65 meter schooner, Jessica, which is now well known now by the name of Addix, and our last yacht was a motor yacht Aldonza, which is around here in the islands, and we still service her. So, but obviously we were doing repair and refit as well, and by the mid 90s we decided to go full on only repair and refit, concentrated on that, and only for yachts. That's what we've been doing till now, really. So that's I mean, one of the good things that we are inheriting from the new built times is the fact that we have a mixed model, no, in which we obviously subcontract a lot of things, but we also have workshops of our own, no? And for the main specialties, like we have a metal workshop, we have a stainless steel, we have a welding workshop, we have machinery and mechanical, hydraulics, electrical, and a bit of electronics. So, and, you know, these workshops and the people that have been working in there has been for many years. Actually, the workmanship has been passing by, and the heritage has been passing by through generations. And that's really the main asset that we have, no, at Astilleros de Mallorca, no? And we think that we value that a lot, and we want to maintain it, because we believe that's extremely important when you are doing the repair and refit, because it is, as everybody knows, in a business in which there are a lot of unforeseen while you go through, and the possibility of having the flexibility to adapt to these unforeseen with your own workforce for the core specialties, it's very valuable, no? Obviously, we work very closely also with preferred subcontractors, and obviously with other subcontractors, because at the end of the day, what we want to give is the client the power of choice, who they want to work with. No, but we still think that offering the services of our workshop is an added value, and I think our clients are definitely valuing that as well. I think obviously we don't have huge facilities here right now, but I always like to say what one client told us once, no, is that you don't have a huge hotel, but you are a boutique hotel, no, and I think that description suits us well, no. We try to do a premium service with what we have, and I think it's working very well. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this last 2 years, we have seen record yacht sales. We have seen record orders on the books for new builds. Some of the stories and some of the experts within the yachting industry have stated that they haven't seen a boom like this since about 2007. Now, how does that relate to the refit industry? Do you see a boom? Has there been sort of the same up and down as the brokerage side of things as far as new builds and sales?
Yes, definitely. I mean, during the heavy years of the pandemic, of course, work went down. On the other hand, yachts remained longer. It is true that they were not doing so much work, but at the same time, also certain clients also took the advantage that they were not using the vessels in order to do things that they couldn't do when the vessel was not so long available at the yard. So we had a bit of everything, but yeah, obviously business went down like everywhere else. But actually what we are seeing now, it's a lot of work. Obviously we everybody wants to get out in their yachts. And I think the pandemic also made a lot of clients aware of yachting in general, and how it was a way to have holidays in a fantastic media and whenever you want in an isolated way. So I think that's and we can see that now not only with the sales but also with the charter. No, if you see the Miva charter event that it was in Barcelona at the end of April. It was not so successful, but it was not so successful because, you just didn't need to go to a show in order to get bookings for charters. No? So it's really booming. And obviously that affects us because, the yachts need to get ready for that. And so we've been all this year having a lot of work to prepare these yachts. Eh? And what we see as well is, it's a really unprecedented quantity of requests also for the autumn. I think it's going to be very positive for our industry. It's not only ourselves. So we see that is happening elsewhere, in other shipyards, at least here in the Mediterranean. So I think definitely it's widespread now. Yeah.
Let me ask you, because I am not sure, I need the education. When a boat is a new build and it is delivered to its owner, how often after that, how long does it actually take before it will come in for a refit, generally speaking?
Well, to be honest, we have a bit of everything because we even had and we are still having this summer. We will have a yacht that is delivered directly from the new build yacht, and they come here to prepare the yachts, last minute things. And we also work with some new build yachts in order to prepare that for the season. And obviously, they like to do it here in the Mediterranean. So, and we do a lot of warranty work. So that the relationship in some cases starts very early in the life of these vessels. Obviously, obviously you have the general yearly maintenance and obviously every 5 years you have a special class maintenance period. And obviously then painting is a strong point. So some yachts paint between 4 or 5 years, something like that. And then obviously there is a big thing is when a yacht is sold to another owner, and then the new owner wants to do something different with that yacht. And then maybe they want to do a bigger refit, or even the same owner that already had it, but she wants to revamp the vessel, and then they want to do a bigger refit, transform, and we do a lot of that as well. And then obviously what we have a lot is the recurrent clients, no? That they are coming to us every year, and they are doing, some years they're doing more, and some years they're doing less. But at the end of the day, these are assets that you can have for almost forever. And so they keep maintaining, and sometimes it's a bigger refit, but they always keep it in a level in order to maintain the asset. No? So we have a bit of everything, Ria. Yeah.
Moving on from the pandemic, I think we were all just starting to get into this idea that the world was going to open up and we were going to move on. And then, of course, we had the geopolitical situation that is going on in the world today. Yeah. Is that affecting companies such as yours in regards to, cost as well as supply?
Yeah. I think like in every other business, to be honest, I think that's affecting all of us. I would differentiate or split it into special points. One is prices and duration of the offers, which we are seeing obviously a lot of differences, and then delivery times on the transport. No? With regard to prices, I think we all are more or less aware. No, but normally every year it was normal to have an increase in prices, and say around 3%. But what we are seeing after the pandemic, or until with obviously now in even worse with the war and also with Brexit as well, we've seen now with certain supplies from the UK, is that there is an exponential increase in price, and obviously depends it differs a bit from material to material, I don't know, for example, for stainless steel we've seen three increases of 30%. If you go to a steel or aluminium, then you have ranges from 60 to 80, and for certain thicknesses you can even see triple prices, no? And so that's really obviously what you have to do is to stock yourself for those primary materials soon enough, which we've done, no? Because obviously then you are more covered, and then you see crazy things like, for example, for the fuel supply, no? That that we've seen even for commercial vessels, no? That our prices have been doubled, and then duration of the offers, no? They've been decreasing the duration of an offer that is made to us, no? Or to the yachts as well. I mean, for example, for the supply of fuel again. Yeah, we used to see validities of 1 day, but now sometimes it's a validity of half an hour, and that's crazy, no? And so that's part of what we are seeing right now. And then with delivery times and transport, Yeah, well, again, at the end of the day, obviously, if the end of the chain is the client, we're just the following step, no? And the first step is the production, the producer, and then obviously it is a transport, and then if you have a dealer, it's a dealer, you know, and all those are in issues, no? The producers, of course, some of them are producing more in demand. So they go by request, and then of course transport is a big issue because it is a lack of capacity, and then things get delayed, and of course dealers also are stocking less, or they were stocking less, and then with less that all that is summing up, no? And when you are at the end of that chain, then obviously you are. It obviously, I mean, we have ways to escape that, no? And obviously, for example, we many times we try to organize transport ourselves, or sometimes you can go directly to a producer and instead of through a dealer. I mean, there are ways, and of course, what we've done is for our primary materials, we've been stocking in a different way that maybe we used to do in the past. No? So there are ways, but and there are things affecting. No, and well, Brexit is another thing. No, for example, no, with materials coming from the UK, and equipment which we use, and obviously now the process takes longer because you have customs as well, and sometimes it's just 48 hours of customs, and sometimes it's weeks, and then obviously transport there is not easy either, and obviously the prices with the new taxes is going up as well. So all this is summing up, no? But okay, there we are. I think this is general, and we do our homework in order to reduce, to minimize the, you know, the impact, and we are working quite well. I mean, we are definitely not you know, avoiding to have any delays on the delivery of the projects, and that's not always easy, but that's what we have to face now.
Well, you know, I hope that things are going to even out a little bit in the future. I know that Europe is now looking, well, they are hoping, that the UK for sure is hoping to be, to get away from any products, fuel products out of Russia by the end of the year. So there are also obviously sort of alternative methods coming in, or other areas that they can get their fuel from, which probably means that once that happens, we are going to see the fuel prices come down a little bit, which means transport won't be quite as expensive, because that's been a huge push. I think, you know, hearing a lot from the US, they have seen prices just skyrocket, just transport alone, not necessarily, you know, the supply that they need, but the transport alone has just gone through.
Definitely. I agree. Totally agree. Yes. Okay. Yeah, but I think it should from now it should be easier. Obviously, also we are adapting, and now. So I think we are managing for the moment. Yeah, quite well. Yeah.
So, what celebrations do you have for the rest of the year to celebrate the 80th anniversary?
Yeah, well, we'll do something in autumn. So you'll be invited, of course. We intend to do something in autumn, and most likely also with our own personnel. We will do something now in June. We are carrying on doing smaller things through the year, but we'll do a big thing in autumn. So yeah, we'll let you know. Yeah.
Nice. Well, I want to say thank you ever so much for your time. It is very much appreciated.
Yeah, thanks to you again. I'm happy to be here anytime, of course.
For the audience out there, this has been Carlos Morales. He is director at Astilleros de Mallorca in Palma, a refit rebuild. yard, and we will provide all of the details for them. One thing that I do have to point out, and something that is very important to us here at Yachting International Radio, is that they are very aware of their impact on the environment, and have gone to great lengths to make sure that in the process of their refit and rebuilds, that everything is disposed of correctly and looked after. So I do want to give them a shout out for that, because there's not a lot of shipyards out there that are doing quite what they're doing. If you want to know more information about that process, please do head to that link, and I will provide Carlos's LinkedIn contact as well if you want to ask any more questions. I want to thank you for joining us. My name is Rhea. I have been your host, and we'll see you again very soon.